It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are coming up into the end of March, which is always an exciting time of year. This is the time of year when many of the birds that we are familiar with through the summer months will be returning to northern Minnesota. The juncos will buzz through. We should see, by now, many of you have probably seen a robin. And we will be seeing killdeer and kestrels. And I saw a northern harrier this week, and we'll get to all of that. I want to start off by going back a week and talking about, like, last time we talked was the 16th, and on the evening of the 16th, I had a barred owl calling from just outside my house, and Heidi mentioned that she had heard a barred owl late last night, so the barred owls are definitely calling. They are probably sitting on eggs right now. And speaking of sitting on eggs, today marks the ninth day that the eagle in the nest by my house has been sitting on eggs. I've observed her every day, and she is very dedicated to that. Well, those eggs by now, I suspect that there are two or maybe three eggs in there, but she started sitting a week ago Sunday. And of course, that egg would have been brooded from the instant it was laid, and then each subsequent egg will be brooded as well, and that staggers the births. And we've talked about that. That gives the oldest an advantage over his brothers or sisters, and that allows the eagles to make sure that at least one of their offspring will survive. So if they're only able to bring enough food to the nest to feed one, then the firstborn will eat, and subsequent eagles will die of starvation or be killed by their sibling and eaten. But at any rate, she is sitting on the eggs, and it's a 35-day process. We'll be talking to you throughout the whole process, and we'll let you know when they're expected to be the first one is expected to be hatched. We won't probably see that bird for several weeks after it hatches, because it'll be a while before mom lets it start wandering around the nest. Also, last Thursday, I saw my first Compton's tortoiseshell butterfly, and that was actually the first butterfly that I had seen this spring. And there are a number of butterflies that overwinter as adults. The Compton's tortoiseshell is on the surface, the dorsal side of the wing, the upper side of the wing. You have a pattern of orange and brown, and you have a white dot at the end of each forewing and a double white dot on each hindwing. And that sort of orangey-looking butterfly, a lot of people are going to see it and probably mistake it for a monarch. It's not that orange, but it is nearly that size. It's a little smaller than a monarch, but monarchs won't be here until the end of May, so don't think that. But Compton's is the first one out. The other one that I expect to see this time of year would be the mourning cloak, a couple of commas, the eastern comma, and I think the gray comma, and another little moth called the infant moth. And I did see an infant moth this past week. And the infant moth looks like a butterfly. It's small. It's much smaller than the Comptons. It's got a wingspan of about an inch, maybe an inch and a quarter. And it has a bright black and orange pattern on its underwing. And when it flies, that's what you'll see. You'll think it's a butterfly, but it's actually a moth. And it's called the infant moth because it's one of the first moths out in the spring. And there's a good picture of an infant moth taken by George Ann Maxson that is on the Season Watch page. And so if you go to KAXE, KBXE Season Watch and scroll down a little bit, you'll get a look at a really good picture of an infant moth, which will help you to identify it. But there are a lot of butterflies that are coming out this year. The Comptons was 3 weeks early, and that is a kind of a constant note on all of the notes that we're going to go through today. We are, as I mentioned earlier, we are experiencing a rather early spring, not our earliest ever, but one of our earliest, and probably in the top four for early arrivals and early emergence of certain events. I was over visiting my neighbor, Marvin Beer, the other day, and Marvin and I were just chatting and talking, and all of a sudden the air around us was filled with these floating little seeds. And it took us a minute to find them, but Marvin pointed to the ground and said, "Look, right there." And sure enough, on the ground, the spreading dogbane pods had opened up, and the wind was blowing these seeds out. And they were these gossamer little fluff balls. They looked like little floating spider webs, and they were just everywhere in the air. And of course, the spreading dogbane is that plant that you see midsummer. It's going to have sort of dark green leaves, a red stem. If you break a leaf or a stem, you'll see a really milky sap, probably an alkaloid sap. And the flowers are pink or white, little bell-shaped flowers with pink streaks in them. And it's a very popular plant for lots of nectaring butterflies and moths. So if you have spreading dogbane around your area, you'll want to kind of keep an eye on it, because through the summer, it'll be a very attractive place to a lot of flying insects. I've been keeping a really close eye on trembling aspen this year. A year ago, I went out and marked a couple of female trees, and the male catkin comes out first, and you see this fuzzy little bud. Back in February, I was seeing these fuzzy little buds of these trembling aspen catkins on the males, and that was 2 weeks early when I first saw it, or 16 days early. And that those catkins are now quite obvious. If you look about you today as you're driving around and you see aspens that have some very fuzzy looking buds on them, those are probably the male aspens. The reason I say that is my female aspens, I went out and I probably spent 20 minutes laying on my back looking up at these trees with binoculars. And finally, I was able to detect a little fuzz on a couple of buds. And I talked to my friend Andy David, who is a professor at the University of Minnesota and has done a great deal of research into aspens. And Andy was saying that the female flower is rather inconspicuous until it becomes pollinated. So I asked him, when does the pollen fly? And he said, well, he said, once the male catkin reaches its full distension, which is, it's going to be maybe an inch and a half or 2 inches long, it will throw pollen. And some of you out there who are sensitive to that sort of thing will know when that happens. And hopefully you'll tell me, because I am absolutely oblivious to pollen. It has little effect on me, if any. But once they start throwing pollen, the female flower, which at this point will be maybe 3/4 of an inch long, very small, and magenta colored. The flowers are red. And once they pollinate, the female catkin will then begin to distend. And about that time, the male catkins will all fall off the aspens, and you'll be left with just the females with these long green catkins, which are the seed capsules. And so keeping a close eye on those and watching them for development, I was able to pin down this past Saturday the budding of the female trembling aspen. So that's a pretty big day for me. I know a lot of you are thinking, what the hell? Who cares? But it was exciting for me. lots of trumpeter swans flying about looking for water, lots of geese doing the same thing. I haven't seen any big skeins, you know, huge flocks, but I've seen up to 20. And so they're probably staying on some open water near you. I noticed this week that the Prairie River opened up north of town. The Mississippi River is open, and all of those places are resting spots for these birds as they go out and check out their natal lakes, where they will come back and nest, and hopefully we'll have another batch of swans in the fall. I got a note from both Dallas Hudson and Peter Harris, who are a couple of very good phenologists across the state. Peter's up at Wolf Ridge, and Dallas is over in Akeley, and they both reported tundra swans this week. The tundra swans don't stop here anytime. I mean, they stop and rest here, but they are moving through, heading northwest, and they're going to be up in the Arctic by the time they settle and start having their families. But the tundra swans have a little bit of a unique call. So if you hear an odd barking call, and especially at night, those are probably tundra swans flying overhead and heading further north. I was attracted to the speckled alders this past week when I noticed that they were, the catkins, the male flowers on the speckled alders were starting to distend. And that was on Friday. And by Sunday, I was able to dislodge pollen from the alder catkins by just snapping them with my finger. And Dallas Hudson over in Akeley had the same experience. And that was 12 days early, so almost 2 weeks early on speckled alders coming out. Many of you probably are noticing pussy willows around the area. They're becoming quite obvious now. There are many of them, and they are increasing in size and number. But not all willows flower at the same time. So you have Bebb's willow and pussy willow, Salix discolor, that put out these fuzzy buds. I think there's a third one too. But anyway, the other willows are just as spectacular. I have, everywhere I go right now, my eye is just caught by these willows, which can range from a vivid green to bright red to burgundy to coral. They're just this myriad, a whole rainbow of colors in the willows right now. So be sure to check those out. They are very, very spectacular right now. Even though some of them don't have pussy willows on them, the colors are just fantastic. My wife, Denise, saw our first chipmunk of the year on the 21st. We had student reports of chipmunks in late February and a number of reports from around the area also on KAXE, KBXE Season Watch page of chipmunks being out and about. I think that mine are really slow to come out because they get so many sunflower seeds from my feeder every summer that they don't have to come above ground until it's really warm. They have lots of food down below, and they're probably just munching away thinking, you know, I'm going to let it warm up a few more days. But this chipmunk sighting by my wife put it at 2 days above, or 2 days before average. Yesterday, as I was driving out of my house, there's a big vernal pond in a farm field across the way, and there were two wood ducks in it. And those ducks were, the wood ducks were 17 days early this year. And I heard sandhill cranes this past week. Last Thursday, I think I heard my first one. And that put the sandhill cranes at about 18 days early. So again, we're really pushing the envelope on these things. The sandhill cranes are early. The pussy willows are at their peak. The tag alders, speckled alders are early. The flowers are just barely visible. Harvey Jader put a post up on Season Watch page of a hazelbrush flower, And you can just see the stigmas beginning to come out of the end of the bud. And I thought, well, wow, that's early. I wonder if that's the same here. And I went out and checked my own hazel out here in my front yard. And sure enough, I had the same thing. The buds are just starting to open. You can just see, if you go find a hazel brush, you're going to have to look very closely, but check all of the buds. And some of them are going to have, at the very tip of the bud, they're going to have these deep purplish red filaments coming out. And those are the stigmas. Those are the female flowers. And they're just beginning to emerge. And again, that is 17 days ahead of schedule. Pardon me. The robins that came into the area around the 20th, 21st, that was about 5 days. My average is the 24th of March for the first robins. So the robins are coming back early. I mentioned the infant moth, northern harrier out on the field, and that was 10 days early. Red elderberry. I checked my red elderberry, and those buds are starting to crack. So if you have red elderberry, sometimes the buds are purple. Sometimes they're kind of a grayish, brownish purple, but there's usually a little hint of purple around those buds. If you look at the, and these are, they're opposite. So you're going to have a bud on the left and a bud on the right, and they're big, fat buds. These buds are almost the size of the end of your little finger. And those buds are just cracking. I could see a little bit of the structure inside and a little bit of green along the edges of those buds. And that is 2 weeks early, 14 days. And in my front yard, I was walking in yesterday and I happened to look up and the silver maple in my front yard is in bloom. And that is 16 days ahead of schedule. Now that, just to give you an idea, I think in the case of the silver maple, the first flowers, so April 7th is the average for first flowers, 20 days early in 2012, might be my earliest ever, but let's see, let's check back a little bit further. So we go down to, where am I? Looks like in, that appears to be my earliest ever, 20 days early in 2012. 2016, 14 days early. So this is like the third earliest of our sightings of flowers on the silver maples in my yard. I went out for a walk yesterday, and I inventoried all of the things that I saw on the ground that were green. Pardon me. This is a good time of year to get out in the woods. And one of the things that's interesting this time of year are those green things that are on the ground. So you have sedges. Usually the biggest one is the Carex arctata, which is usually a clump maybe 6 to 10 inches across and spreading out from there with a broad leaf that is sort of folded in the shape of a W or an M. And that Carex arctata is bright green. The Pennsylvania sedge is bright green. That has a much smaller leaf than the Carex arctata. Among the others, all of the lycopodiums, the bristly club moths, the spread or the running club moths, the round-leafed ground pine or princess pine, as you and I know it, the ground cedar, all of those are green. Of course, all the mosses are green. Trailing arbutus. This is a good time of year to go out and look to see if you can find trailing arbutus. It's pretty easy to spot right now, although you're probably going to see a leaf or two. And if you rake back some of the leaf litter that's on top of them, you'll find a colony of these little leaves of the trailing arbutus. This is a really good time to go out. Gold thread. If you're near the edges of swamps, you're going to see these three leaves that are sort of fluted on the edges. and look a little bit like a clover. If you sort of pull them up a little bit, maybe take one of those leaves and kind of chase it down into the leaf litter a little bit, you'll find a very golden thread of a stem from which this leaf came. And that gives the plant its name, gold thread. So lots of green things out there that are really worth checking out. And I hope that you will do that and check those things out and get a little bit more familiar with them. It's been a pretty exciting week, and there's been a lot of things happening. There are a lot of flowers that are popping out in this area, and I encourage you to get out and see what's happening in your area. And of course, when you have some sighting, send it along. We'd love to hear from you about what's happening in your yard.